In 758 M41, the Imperium, having assessed the planet Carmen within the Jericho reach of Ultima Segmentum, labeled the world for cleansing. During the assessment of the Eastern Fringe planet, an autochthonic species of Xenos had been discovered. The planet was primitive by any standard, the species seemingly not having risen to the level of space travel. That being said, they were discovered to be in possession of several pieces of advanced technology, determined to have been supplied to them by passing Xenos merchants, or perhaps Imperial traders of extremely unscrupulous characters. While their planet-bound nature would ordinarily have deemed them of little threat to the Imperium, increasing activity within the region, focused around the Jericho Maw warp gate, led Administratum officials to fret that the species could, potentially, one day detect Imperial commerce or colonization, and move against either. Despite there being no sign of this occurring, the aforementioned purgation was quickly ratified to cleanse the planet ahead of any Imperial crusade forces currently operating in the region. A single Gladius-class frigate, the Thunder's Word, was dispatched, carrying aboard it specialists of a truly singular nature. 8 in total, a remarkably strong deployment for this particular force. The opening orbital bombardment was deemed a total success. Within 72 hours, no living Xenos remained on the surface of Carmen. However, the specialists, utilizing their advanced AuSpex equipment, had detected underground nests and elected to continue the purgation personally. It is likely that, given what records one was permitted to access, that these warrens were shelters, containing the ill and the infirm of the species. They fought back, with spears and slings, against the human purgators, desperately resisting their deaths, to no avail. Initial studies stated that the species of the planet Carmen had existed for between 60 to 600 million years. The purging of the planet was achieved in 12 standard Terran days. The force that undertook it is the subject of this record. Know then that this is a record of Astartes alien hunters beyond compare. They of the Long Watch, they that are the shield that slays. A record of the Death Watch. The Death Watch is a specialist chapter of the Adeptus Astartes, founded with the explicit purpose of combating the Xenos menaces that bedevil the Imperium of Mankind. Clad in their distinctive black power armor, the Death Watch maintains a ceaseless vigil across the entire Imperium. And though they may be relatively few in number compared to not just the other arms of the Imperial military engine, but some of the Adeptus Astartes, the skill of these warriors has been a phenomenal tool for the Imperium's xenocidal policies. This is not merely in defense of Imperial worlds. While the Death Watch has turned back many an alien invasion, the Imperium demands proactivity from its warriors. It is by the word of the High Lords and the Inquisition that the Death Watch is often dispatched into the galaxy's murkiest and most remote depths to hunt, engage, and expunge alien races before they may ever even darken the door of humanity. The chapter does not draw its recruits from fiefdoms, as others do. It is comprised entirely of veteran Astartes hailing from other chapters, pledged to the service of alien hunting as part of an ancient tithe the Death Watch has long demanded of humanity's Angels of Death. The chapter has no genetic heritage. It has no homeworld. It has nothing to bind its warriors together but for their dedication to extermination. Stationed on lone watch fortresses across the Imperium, the chapter's reach spans the entire galaxy. The Death Watch's culture is but a tradition of slaughter. Over millennia of purgation campaigns and interdiction operations, they have become superlatively experienced in Xeno murder. The Death Watch owes its origins to the cataclysmic conflict known to history as the War of the Beast. The invasion of the eponymous Orc Warboss, beginning in 544 M32, was utterly devastating to the Imperium. The scale of the incursion, and the Beast's forces, dwarfs that of the Ullinor campaign of the Great Crusade, an operation that in itself required the forces of several Astartes legions and their primarchs to achieve. As the Imperium reeled from the staggering losses of the advanced and coordinated attack of the Orcs, the last surviving member of the Imperial Fists, Chapter Master Courland, proposed the development of specialized Astartes kill teams to engage the Orcs in targeted operations. Unable to cope with the seemingly numberless alien hordes, the Adeptus Astartes was forced to take a more surgical approach to stemming the tide. Courland faced staunch opposition from the Grand Master of the Administratum, Tubris Eckharth, who objected to the decentralized and oversightless nature of this proposed new chapter, the command of whom would fall to Courland in his High Lords of Terror role as Lord Commander of the Imperium. Issues of jurisprudence were overwritten by the sudden reactivation of the Orc attack moon that, at present, hung in Terra's orbit, leading to the deployment of three attack teams of Astartes, all drawn from different chapters to fulfill the veterancy and expertise requirements that Courland had envisaged. Laterally, a power-sharing agreement was reached with Inquisitorial Representative Waynand to mollify continuing political opposition to the Death Watch, ensuring that the Inquisition would have a hand in oversight of the deployment and utilization of the Specialist Chapter. This relationship has remained close, if quite ill-defined, throughout the subsequent millennia. The Inquisition, too, responded to the War of the Beast with the creation of the dedicated Ordo Xenos, the arm of that secretive organization dedicated to the investigation and purgation of alien subversion in the galaxy, both within and without the Imperium. With all the power a superlatively skilled and intelligent human can command, and no oversight save for their own internal politicking, the Inquisitors of the Ordo leverage the Death Watch so frequently that the chapter has been informally understood to be its militant wing. There have been occasions when the Death Watch's watch commander, the equivalent rank of a chapter master, has been held by a baseline human inquisitor, rather than an Astartes. The chapter's heraldry features the inquisitorial stylized eye very heavily, denoting their close ties to any who survive an encounter with its Astartes. Likewise, Death Watch battle brothers have been known to head up inquisitorial kill teams. This murky chain of command suits the Inquisition and the Death Watch both, although it is the former that is the root of no small amount of conflict between the two forces. Radical Ordo Xenos Inquisitors, with all the autonomy that their rank allows, have been known to utilize alien technology without proper sanctification, or worse, treat with and employ the services of aliens themselves. The Death Watch, having always been more of a hardline and puritanical bent, have often reacted to this extremely negatively, leading to bloodshed on more than many occasions. These situations, while rare, are quickly covered up by whichever party comes out on top. Both the Inquisition and the Death Watch serve the Imperium and the Emperor. Any internecine strife is the fault of particular methodologies, and is not worth acknowledging. The mission of the Death Watch is both direct and extremely broad. The remit extends across the entire galaxy. To them falls the duties of defense, analysis, investigation, and purgation of each and every alien species, known or yet to be discovered. From the ancient evils of unparalleled malevolence to upstart races with delusions of grandeur. Yaldari, Tyranids, Orcs, Necrons, these are manifest threats we nominally understand. But sundry minor entities possess scant less lethality. The Umbra, the Hrud, the Barghizi, the Fra'al, the Loxatl, countless more besides. No alien foe is beyond the reach of the Death Watch. If the terrors of the Xenos races know fear at all, they know it best in the sable armor and sanctified bolter of the Chapter's Astartes. Owing to this, the Death Watch have, throughout their history, amassed the greatest single collection of knowledge upon the killing of the alien in the Imperium, a repository won in the blood of its battle brothers and the fuel of their righteous hatred. This archive is akin to none other within the Imperium. Such knowledge it contains is heretical beyond words, yet priceless beyond compare. To know the alien as the Death Watch do is a freedom that fundamentally does not exist within the God Emperor's realm. The Astartes are permitted it only to effect extermination most thorough. In hidden vaults across space is the knowledge guarded, added to with each passing year, as new alien strains are catalogued and new abhorrent technology is examined, all carefully picked apart until a species is comprehended and its weaknesses are laid bare. Owing to the sheer scale of their mandate, the Death Watch cannot engage and does not engage in costly, full-scale wars that risk the attrition of its battle brothers. More so than any other Astartes chapter, they wield their marines as a scalpel, forming them into kill teams to engage in clinically precise and objective-driven operations. Targets, be they locations, devices, or individuals, are carefully selected and struck at, to be eliminated as swiftly as possible, lest the chapter's precious Astartes come to undue risk. Targets are naturally selected for their value. An alien leader may be obliterated, an eldritch site of worship or research may be expunged, or powerful engines of destruction may be crippled. This is where the Death Watch's knowledge base truly excels. Kill teams are tailored for specific operations and outfitted to combat specific species. Their knowledge has not been gathered to emulate the alien, only to kill it. Despite the near crippling inertia that defines the Imperium's approach to technology and progress, the Death Watch are relentless in their development of weaponry and armaments that slaughter with greater effect. They are renowned for specialized ammunition. After all, a bolt round that kills a Tyranid may be less effective on the necrodermis of a Necron. Better to employ a liquefaction round for the former and a ferrotoxic round for the latter. The chapter wields mass teleportation arrays capable of delivering kill teams wholesale with great precision, devices typically reserved only for the Terminator elite of another chapter's first company. They deploy baffling fields that interfere with Xenos technology and utilize advanced auger suites to detect aliens that would otherwise evade their sight, and thus the Emperor's justice. The Death Watch employ a form of recruitment utterly unique amongst the chapters of the Adeptus Astartes. Unlike their contemporaries, they do not have a soul or even multiple population worlds to form their genetic base. Indeed, they have no genetic base. The chapter is formed from battle brothers drawn from other Astartes chapters across the Imperium. Each member of the Adeptus Astartes pledges a tithe to the Death Watch, providing them with a portion of their number to fight against the alien enemies of the Imperium. These are no mere aspirants. They are fully fledged battle brothers of proven mettle and courage, all of whom have excelled in combating Xenos species in one form or another. They enter Death Watch service tempered by years of service, joining amongst peers of blessed annihilation. The selection process for these individuals varies by their chapter of origin, but in broad terms, the company captain will vouch for their expertise in combat, while the chaplain speaks to their fortitude of mind and zeal of spirit, while the apothecary commends their physical attributes. These recommendations are delivered to the chapter master for deliberation and ultimate selection. While some chapters mount specialized challenges of prowess or competitions of skill to inform the decision, authority will always fall upon the chapter master's shoulders. To be chosen for the Death Watch is an occasion of immense honor in the life of an Astartes, for it speaks to their immense skill, peerless courage, and unshakable dedication. It is, however, an occasion of solemnity, for both the warrior and his kin know that they will likely never be reunited. Their fate is almost irrevocably sealed. This is the purported reason for the chapter's distinct black power armor, the mark of the martyr, borne upon his sacred battle plate. Interestingly, even chapters whose heraldry is already black continue to ritually repaint their war gear of the members selected for the Death Watch. This is to avoid the angering of the armorer's machine spirit and cursing oneself with ill fortune. There have been Astartes whose terms of service within the Death Watch come to an end. Should this occur, they will return to their chapter a hero of slaughter, bringing priceless knowledge to their kindred and effecting even greater purges across the Imperium. Not all of a Death Watch inductee's panoply is stained midnight black. The warrior is permitted, per Death Watch tradition, a single pauldron to mark his chapter of origin, bearing his old colors with pride. This extends to minor idiosyncratic modifications. Space Wolf Death Watch Astartes will often continue to bear their chapter's distinctive tribalistic totems, while Astartes drawn from the Dark Angels may retain the hooded tabards that they have earned in their former careers. Such flares of individualism, unheard of across most of the Imperium, are permitted within the Death Watch, for to attempt to quash them would bring grave dishonor to the elite inductees, and furthermore, disrespect the chapter's principles of bringing together the Imperium's most vicious alien killers precisely for the breadth of their expertise and characters. Even so, no Death Watch inductee is an expert once they reach their assigned watch fortress. Though he may have fought against dozens of alien species, there are hundreds more, and upon their deaths, he must now apply himself to the study of. Rigorous training, physical, mental, and spiritual, face a new arrival to a watch fortress, much of which is conducted through torturous periods of hypno-indoctrination, wherein the subject's subconscious is deluged with nigh every detail the Death Watch has catalogued upon the weaknesses of the alien. While the process is almost unspeakably grueling, it serves a purpose. When a Death Watch Astartes encounters an alien foe, he is equipped with immediate recall on how to overcome it, even if he has never fought the vile entity before in his life. Rank is set aside once the inductee reaches what the Death Watch deem full combat efficiency. Even should a warrior have been a captain or higher, he is now assigned to a kill team at the foundational rank. Such a facet of Death Watch life has no doubt proven challenging to many in Astartes. While all are supremely dedicated to the service of the Emperor, they still bear traits that are fundamentally human. They are, after all, adolescents, whose bodies have been hothoused into a shape beyond that of even an adult. It is far from unknown for even an Angel of Death to be bereft of the sins of pridefulness, something that may also be compounded by them being assigned to a team of Astartes from as many as 10 different chapters, all of whom possess unique cultures and specialities. Friction between these recruits and veterans both is an accepted part of Death Watch life. Ultimately, the chapter relies upon the dedication and sense of duty each Astartes possesses to overcome these initial clashes of personalities. The sheer adversity of their assignments is the truest test, and the surest rectifier of any such clashes. Within battle, the Astartes must come to rely on each other's skills and instincts, a truer test of ego than many a space marine must ever be called upon to overcome. Those that cannot die, taking their brothers with them, perishing in sin, failing the Emperor. Those that do are honed into a weapon unlike few within the Imperial arsenal. Each squad is a unique combination of experience, instincts, proclivities, and personalities. An exceptional tool of murder. Should issues of obedience still persist, the watch council of an individual watch station may typically deliver a verbal pronouncement upon the transgressions of the individual Marine, publicly staining his honor before his brothers, and worse, they will subject him to incarceration within the penance box. Utilizing similar technology to the hypno-indoctrination that teaches Death Watch Astartes their unique combination of expertise, the box is a coffin-like device fitted with a psychostimulant helm, which, in combination with psychoactive narcotics, is used to shunt footage and data from the sensorium suites of an Astartes helm, all from the incarcerated's own chapter of origin, and directly into their brain. This information has but one commonality. The Marines are all dying, and at the hands of alien invaders. The incarcerated Astartes is forced, for as long as the Watch Council has deemed necessary, to perceive his former brothers facing overwhelming odds and failing. Time and time again, his old brethren are torn limb from limb, beheaded, bisected, disintegrated, boiled alive, crushed, or incinerated. All by the foes he has specifically been chosen to bring ruin to. Such punishment is often effective in the extreme, divesting an Astartes of any bellicosity he may bear towards his new compatriots. It is a stark reminder of the value and the duty inherent in their brotherhood, and it rarely fails to stoke the fires of hatred within the vicious hearts of the wayward. Not every warrior of the Death Watch bears the symbol of their chapter of origin, however. These lone individuals are known as Black Shields, which is admittedly a highly loaded term in Astartes history, as one's acolytes may know. Precisely what paths brought these Marines to the doors of a Watch fortress are never discussed openly, either by their commanders, their brothers, or the warriors themselves. They arrive, already bereft of chapter iconography. Their armor has been pre-scoured of all identifiers. Whatever name they give is summarily removed from record, and a new one bestowed upon them. Indeed, the one they present themselves under is almost certainly an assumed identity to begin with. It is conceivable that a Watch commander of the Death Watch may deny such a warrior admittance, but such a thing is rare. An Astartes that presents himself in such a fashion has no other door to turn to, and every fist in the service of the Death Watch is one that can be cast into the skull of an alien with righteous fury. The reasons these warriors have for embarking on the path of the Black Shield are many. Some are the last survivors of chapters that have been wiped out in battle, their genetic lineage brought to an end, such that selling their lives against the alien is the most honorable course of action available to them. Some do so as acts of penitence for some terrible failing or heretical act. Indeed, some are highly likely to be loyal members of otherwise renegade chapters, seeking to atone for the sins of their former kindred through puritanical xenocide. Some still may even be time-displaced, thrown out of the warp into an era before their chapters existed, or long after their chapters have been destroyed, or worse, turned heretical. Whatever desperation drives the actions of a Black Shield, they find solace in the dark halls of a watch fortress, and renewed purpose amongst new brothers under a new identity. The Death Watch is spread thinly across the Imperium. It is a sad facet of there being a specialized division of an already rare breed. Curiously, and in the minds of some, worryingly, there is none who know the full scope of their strength. Not the Inquisition, not even the nominal Watch Commander. In fact, it has been theorized by scholars of the Astartes that in recent millennia, there have been at times several Watch Commanders in any given period. This does not disrupt operations. The Death Watch is by nature extremely decentralized. It has never operated in the same manner as a regular Astartes chapter, nor ever will. Its independence is part of its efficacy. The division of strength allows for maximum reach and time-critical applications of force. Each watch fortress is a sentinel of this, or that, volume within the Imperium, a bastion from where the Emperor's judgment may be cast like a lightning bolt. Watch fortresses themselves are typically fortified space stations rather than planet-bound installations. This provides not only greater rapid response capabilities, but a higher degree of secrecy. Cloaked in augur-baffling fields of stunning potency, many inhabited worlds in the Imperium have Death Watch fortresses lurking in their orbits, their location known to none save those aboard, and those permitted the knowledge to board. A notable exception of this is the Watch Fortress of Talassa Prime, a whole planet gifted to the Death Watch in perpetuity by the Ultramarines. For millennia, it has served as the primary training facility for Death Watch Astartes in that region of the galaxy, although, since the opening of the Great Rift, it is believed that such a role within Imperium Nihilus is being fulfilled by Prefex Venatorus and Fort Excalibris. Talassa Prime is an exception of stark note. It is impossible, of course, to fully obfuscate the existence of an entire planet from the wider Imperium. Where possible, the chapter will always prefer its secrecy. Each watch fortress has full authority over the volume it considers under its purview. Many have a number of smaller, subsidiary watch stations. Smaller facilities that allow for greater reach and can be garrisoned according to specific needs. Interestingly, though vast gulfs of space separate them, most watch fortresses follow identical layouts. Standardization in this regard allows reassigned Death Watch members to easily acclimate to whatever new location their paths have brought them to. Training grounds, armories, fleet docks, astropathic choirs, and navigator habitations are standardized across the entire Death Watch, regardless of the size of a particular fortress. The watch companies assigned to an individual fortress, typically five companies in number, each have approximately 50 Astartes. This is, of course, far smaller than a Codex-compliant chapter, but the sheer lethality and armory of each more than makes up for the smaller quantity. These watch companies are extremely flexible in how they form their kill teams. No Codex compliancy binds its warrior to specific squads or specific war gear. The Death Watch will always adapt, in a rather un-imperial fashion, to optimize themselves for a particular foe. This includes mixed armor marks. A Death Watch kill team may deploy Astartes in Terminator armor, alongside Firstborn Marines in Mark 8 Errant Power Armor, and Primaris Marines in Mark 10 armor. Other kill teams may have a Soul Warrior mounted on a bike, while another soars above on an Astartes jump pack. No combination is the same, and no combination is forbidden. The Warrior, the War Gear, and their skills are specifically tailored to a specific mission. While one has previously discussed the specialized ammunition of the Death Watch, the sophistication and deadliness of their armories go far beyond the complexity of their bullets. Owing to the scope of their operations and the length of their service, the Death Watch has encountered a staggering array of alien technology and weaponry. The examination, disassembly, and study of these devices is a key part of the Death Watch's mandate. as one of the few bodies within the Imperium permitted to actively seek knowledge and catalogue it, they have full authority to capture, possess, and examine xenotech and xenos of all varieties. While technological innovation is, of course, heretical in the extreme in the eyes of the priesthood of the Adeptus Mechanicus, the Death Watch's mission places them above such punishment. Their need to adapt to emergent threats is deemed by ancient decree to be more vital than the sanctity of the machine god's spiritual dogma. The most obvious incorporation of this practice is within the aforementioned ammunition that may be filled with mutagenic bioacid, volatile promethium, or superheated plasma. The bolters that fire them are likewise the most advanced of their kind, and, prior to the era Indomitus, the majority of Mark VIII errant pattern power armor suits the Imperium was capable of developing was dispatched to the Death Watch. Additionally, the chapter possesses a large number of relic suits of power armor, of such storied provenance that they have been granted the honor of possessing names of their own, such as the Pride of Lord Varico or the Iron Sanctum. Live capture of Xenos is also far from unheard of. When commanded to, a Death Watch Astartes can and will restrain his xenocidal tendencies to merely cripple a xenoform and bring it back to the Watch Fortress for study. The lamentable wretch will then be subject to all manner of examinations and testing. Apothecaries will vivisect them to discover the purposes of specific organs, or to extract tissue samples to determine the chemicals and compounds that affect maximum biological damage. All while their chirurgical attendants will stress test pain thresholds and stimuli responses. When these investigations are deemed to have reached a satisfactory conclusion, the creature, should it yet survive, will be used for live fire ammunition testing, or a similar examination of the efficacy of the technology that its suffering has wrought. Such technology is developed by specifically vetted tech priests, seconded from the Adeptus Mechanicus. Owing to the nature of their work, these roles are often filled by those machine priests whose proclivities of study, or speciality, border upon the heretical, those whose curiosity can be said to be at risk of getting the better of them. To Mars and her forges, the removal of these magi is a blessing, as it washes their mechadendrites of any responsibility of having to deal with such errant and disturbing behavior. Some, however, are magi that are puritanical in the extreme, who justify sullying their hands with alien technology as a means of truly and ultimately exterminating all trace of it from the Omnissiah's real space. Whatever their personal reasons, the priests of the Death Watch are sworn to utmost secrecy, and are routinely examined by the chapter's librarians and psychers of the Inquisition for any trace of deviancy or indiscretion. Even still, the Death Watch will routinely obfuscate or outright deny many of their tech priests' access to some of their more esoteric war gear, those that have been derived specifically from alien origin. Gravitic field amplifiers, xenophase blades, phasic plasma ammunition, psychic monitron units, so-called Eastern Fringe artillery, all of these devices possess alien technology, or biology, as a core element of their functionality. It is only through extreme sanctification and purity of will that a warrior of the Death Watch may wield it, and not fall to the type of spiritual degeneration that marks most radical inquisitors who make use of similar technology. With the coming of the era Indomitus, the Death Watch, sorely pressed and even more divided in the wake of the Noctis Aeterna, was granted some reprieve by a massive influx of Primaris Space Marines at the behest of the resurrected Rabut Gulliman. The Ultramarines Primarch, as part of the massive efforts of the Indomitus founding, dispatched entire chapters worth of Primaris Astartes, alongside their new technology, weapons, and vehicles, to the largest Death Watch watch fortresses for training and further reassignment. While this initially led to some friction, owing to the unproven nature of the Grey Shield Primaris Marines, the Death Watch rushed to deploy these new warriors to bolster their hard-pressed kill teams. Imperium Nihilus remains a challenge for the chapter, although it has perhaps suffered less than other Imperial military bodies in the occluded part of the galaxy. Given its dedication to independence and self-reliance, watch fortresses of the chapter have far shorter and less complex supply chains, enabling those stranded on the dark side of the rift to better self-sustain within the Stygian depths of those galactic volumes. With alien empires resurgent on all fronts, the Death Watch is more active than ever abroad across the Imperium. It remains to be seen whether their unique means of war-making will be enough to save us. Ave Imperator. Gloria in Excelsis Terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter @oculusimperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.